I know one way to really blow up this podcast. I know one way to do it. Although with time, it's just doing its own thing right now. But I know one way to do it. It's just talk about whatever. Whatever you feel like talking about it, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter. You know what you realize when you get older? That you're so worried about what other people think that you're afraid to say what's on your mind. You're afraid to voice your opinion. You're afraid to speak up because you're so afraid and worried about what other people think and what are they going to say? What are they going to think of me? And then you get older and you go through experiences, enough of them, or something changes with your health, or you're on this different journey of life, and something just clicks one day. Whether you see somebody else just enjoying life and not really giving a damn, or you're just in a point in your life where you're at the end of your life, and you think about, does it really matter what people think? And do you really, and should you really give a damn? No, because at the end of the journey, that's just not gonna matter. It's not gonna matter what the hell you said, what you thought, what you think, what you voice, what you feel. It's not gonna matter who the hell or what the hell or who cares what the heck people think. I've like come to this epiphany, like, does it matter? Does it really matter what people think? I mean, people are going to think and judge you and say and whatever the hell they want anyway. It doesn't matter. I mean, and then some people get like an advantage and a heads up and a running start ahead of you. I mean, to belittle you, chastise you, grind you into the ground and slander you and make fun of you and what the hell, it doesn't matter about you. Because it doesn't matter about you because it has nothing to do with you. When people hate that much, it's because one thing. They hate their damn selves. That's why there's people like that in the world. They hate themselves. It's nothing to do with you, okay? It's not about jealousy or obsessed or even in my point stalking. I got a stalker or the Velcro person. It doesn't even matter. It's not even about that. It's because people don't like their damn selves. And people who don't and can't and that are so afraid to express themselves and talk and, well, heaven forbid, if I don't look classy or perfect or smart or intelligent or powerful or what the hell, then I shouldn't say anything at all because, you know, then, you know, and who gives a damn? I'm here to tell you, I'm at the point in my life, it don't matter. It never mattered. It's not going to change at the point of your life where you get to this pivotal moment in your life where you realize that blueprint that life was, in my opinion, laid out for you, and it's a blueprint of life, and it's just the way God intended, and you're born, and you're just right from start. You're playing out what's already planned for you. You think that matters at the end of the journey? It doesn't matter. Who gives a damn? Quit worrying about what other people think. Feel free to be free. Free yourself. Express yourself. Laugh at yourself. Hell, make fun of yourself. Who cares? Do what you want to do. Sing. Journal. Act. I mean, whatever. Bake. Drive. I mean, whatever. Whatever, really, at the end of the day, what really matters in life is, number one, is yourself. And most importantly, doing your best to make and be happy. That's what really life's all about, is enjoying it and doing your best to be happy through the ups and downs and the roller coaster of life and the hurdles and the BS and the BS people and the haters and the whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter what I said right now. And the journey's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. Because when you die, it's like you're 15 minutes of fame. Everybody knows you're dead and gone. You died. You got your 15 minutes of fame. Okay? When I die, I get my 15 minutes of fame. What happened to her? What happened? Oh, well, the last of the blueprint, that journey of life she talked about, it's done. It's finally done. Okay, let it go around and around wherever. 15 minutes, exactly. That's the timer. It's up. 15 minutes of fame, it's over. Okay? That's life. That last 15 minutes is over with. Everybody's going to be asking why, and you're going to be the talk of whatever and whatever, and who cares? And really, you're gone anyway, so it doesn't really matter. And you pray to God that, in my opinion, the spirit could somehow stay around for a while before the final transition. Like, you're not transitioned all the way to heaven, but you're kind of like in the middle of watching the rest of this part of life that's ended to making that part of the journey to home, to heaven. But you have this in-between time where God allows you to stay for a little bit and linger a little bit. I can only think of it that way, because when loved ones passed and strange things happened and favorite rocking chairs that I decided that that's what I want for sentimental reasons because it was our favorite rocking chair, when they passed, started rocking before the funeral, after they passed, music boxes playing, hearing them talk, feeling a touch, somebody gently brushing your hair. Somehow, I hope that what I have experienced that I call a gift, and I think one in every generation has a gift to connect spiritually with loved ones. I'm not going to change my thought. I never will, because I've seen too much, experienced too much to know any other difference or different. Differently. You know what I mean? And maybe we can just watch ourselves at that 15 minutes. Oh, they passed. Oh my God, they passed. She passed. God, what got her in the end? What didn't get her in the end? Sorry. I laugh. When you can laugh about death, you know what you're facing? That's when you know you're ready and you're tired. I wouldn't say mentally. Let's face it. Mentally, yeah, I'm still sharp. Yeah, I'm groggy. I have my moments like today, you know. Physically, I'm freaking beat. I am beat physically. This is like the first time I can say through the struggles and the hurdles that it's kicking my ass. And no matter what we work with, and now oncology has taken over, trying to do their best to say, so trying to control this pain. But the pain is evolving so quickly that every time we feel like we get right where we need to be, and we're about 90% under control of the pain, and we switch me to this, then all of a sudden the pain, because everything's progressing so rapidly now, that the pain has changed, is what I mean when I say evolved. Just a small bone growth on the shoulder. And I know I said this is how would you like to wake up, not be able to feel in your arm. And I know that made no damn sense to anybody. And I was so just, I'm still so disappointed in people that would represent me in surgery and not even tell me that part of my colon got removed. Whether or not they didn't even ask anything, they had no reaction, no expression. This is all documented by surgeons. It has nothing to do with me. I didn't write this stuff. I was knocked out. That I know I just, you know, I wouldn't say went off, but I just kept, you know, saying how I feel, what I'm experiencing, because pain's changing, evolving, and we have this little strange growth on the shoulder, and then all of a sudden, new oncology group decided to do a scan before my appointment in the next couple of weeks. And lo and behold, one bone growth turned into four. And all within the same right arm, in the same vicinity, in the same area of my shoulder. And they contacted me back with this, they call it soft report, you know, when they want it right away. And then they, of course, the radiology dictates it. And then they get, obviously, with oncology, they want a second opinion to see. But the blood flow is the problem. And then, you know, your nerves and all that, and you get strange bone growths. This is why all of my teeth and most of my lower jaw had to be extracted, and multiple surgeons. And my oral surgeon I had since I was young got my wisdom teeth removed by him. The dentist in the area where I live wasn't even comfortable even touching the stuff, because it was odd to have a strange bone growth just keep reappearing. That they agreed that maybe my oral surgeon that I had when I was younger may be able to handle a case because he was independent. Another group did their part and then kind of met together as one with my oral surgeon. And it was a four-part process of removing all of my teeth and all of these odd bone growths. And then parts of the bone growths were, as you could see like on x-ray and that, were in the lower portion of the jaw, removed prior and came back. What's going on in my shoulder? I mean, is it cancer? What the hell is this? They don't know. But the one had started two years ago by my prior pain management group, hospital group, and it was picked up. But the thing was, as I had told them I was experiencing, it had some strange growth on my shoulder because I couldn't then wear a bra because a bra strap was rubbing into it and hurt. And now it's like trying to sleep with this damn thing and realizing, well, now you just don't have one, now you have four. What the hell is it? Are they going to be able to go in? Maybe, you know, needle aspirating it, do something? No, they're not. Are they going to mess with it? It's still on the phone? No, they're not. We're not messing with it. It doesn't matter at this point. No, it's just something else, as they said, you know, that we're going to have to work with. Is it all connected? I mean, everybody feels everything is. Now, that's where I said that, and I was so frustrated with things with, you know, that surgery, and I thought it was a clerical error, and, you know, and like I say, at the end of the journey and right now, really, does it matter? It doesn't matter now. It's a little too late. Like, this has been eons ago. Like, I'm just finding out eons later, and it contributed to a lot of opportunities with smaller surgeries that could have been an option. And because of that surgery and where the portion of the colon was removed and where it's located near all the ovarian stuff going on, it's a no. It was always a no. I just didn't know. You know, it's like trying to solve a mystery is, you know, like, who done it? You know, the only thing I know for certain is that one surgeon who said, oh God, this is too much for me. Yeah, I can only imagine them all. This is too much for me. Oh, my expertise. You're a director, for crying out loud, of OBGYN, gynecology, I'll just say, of a major hospital, and you literally are not even comfortable? Well, what the hell really did you see? I mean, that makes me question, is I know it was bad and surgery was nothing. What they had it all mapped out how they were going to go in surgically, and it didn't even go that way. They didn't even have, they went through like several cans of Tissle spray, which is used to like stop bleeding and stuff through like major, like, you know, auto accidents and trauma and people getting rushed to hospital. And I mean, it was bad. They read some of the stuff and it was the first time I heard it. Like, I knew about the spray, but I didn't know how much they used. They didn't even have it. They had to have somebody in the surgical, you know, how they have their team that, you know, hands over everything, and I don't know what the hell they're called. What, assistants or whatever during surgeries? They'd go down and supplies and get stuff that they didn't even have during surgery. And then you had that surgeon who literally did not do any of the surgery. In fact, he did nothing and handed it to the trauma surgeon to do everything. Well, it wasn't even their expertise, but they did it anyway. Because really, in reality, liability, they weren't supposed to, as I was told, do that. They weren't supposed to touch the ovaries and things. That's not their part of the surgery, but they did for you. And I can't be more thankful for that surgeon to take over his part and the other surgeon's part. Why, this guy is taking pictures with his cell phone, going outside of the surgical room and sending them to the staff. What kind of knucklehead does that? I mean, that's not a surgeon. I mean, that's called bad bedside manners. That's what that's called. That's exactly what that's called. That's disgusting. I don't have any nice things to say. And I maybe at this point just to not say anything at all. Because when I say it doesn't matter what I say, it really doesn't. But, you know, when you go home to the good Lord, you may want to think before you speak, you know what I mean? I'm not going to put any skeletons in my closet because it's cleared out, so I'm not going to do it. So I'm not going to say anything, but that any surgeon listen to this, it is the most unprofessional thing you could ever do to a patient while they're under, is cross the HIPAA privacy line and go taking pictures of internal of their body. I don't care if it's internal or not. You can't see outside. It's internal. It's their privacy. It's HIPAA. You know, if I said, yeah, you could take pictures of me and share it with your office staff and just don't bother. You know, I mean, my question really, the thought in the back of my mind, you know, I was thinking back of my mind while reading this, is did he try to bill the insurance company for anything surgically he did? Because I know he didn't do anything. Did he? Doesn't matter now. But did he? I mean, I don't know. You know, like I said, you know, I'm at this point in different part of my life where I've realized it doesn't matter. There's a lot of things I'm just saying, it doesn't matter. You know, don't wait until you get to a point with your health or you're an elderly, you know, part of your life where you're in upper age, 80s, 90s, and God bless you, reached 100, you know, the 100 milestone. Don't wait until that point to realize it doesn't matter. Who gives a damn, you know? Make sure you get to that crossroad and that point somewhere else a lot earlier, please. Sometimes medically, which just happens. For me, it just happened. I go to the pharmacy and pick up, you know, because of pain's evolving and things, we have to change everything. And luckily, the new oncology group has their part of my care, and they're taking things over. And trying to manage this pain is something they're taking over because the other hospital specialists could not get this pain under control. So every time we change me to something, the thing is, like oncology said, is things are evolving and progressing. So you're trying to stay on top of something that's getting out of control. And most people, let's face it, pass away from complications by now. Is it a blessing or a curse? I made it past, way past the point where I shouldn't have. I mean, I don't look at it a blessing or a curse. I just look at it like my life wasn't over because the blueprint that was laid out before, you know, before even born, the blueprint of life and why you're here and what you're supposed to do, it's just not over with yet. The story's not over. So that's why I'm still, you know, here. I'll say struggling, because I'm not going to joke by saying the hell struggling. I still use that arm. I'm right-handed, so it's my right arm. So it's not like, you know, let's just switch it to left arm. All right, everything's taking me longer now to do because physically my body's tired, so things take longer anyway to get accomplished during the day, and I do what I do when I can. And some days are harder than others, and some days are better than others. And I think that's just the way life is at this part of my journey. But it's nothing like going to pharmacy and they call a new drug. And first we're having a problem with both, I mean, two insurance plans. Did they not just talk about this on the news? I heard about the outrageous prices of prescription drugs in the United States and trying to do something about it. Well, how long you keep saying that? I mean, this is why people go bankrupt. You know, and go and blow through their savings, and that is, you know, when something happens, life happens, and you end up with something that's serious and it's chronic, and you're not going to get out of it. You're stuck with it for life, and you have to start getting onto medicine that's not of the norm and not a typical medication, or heaven forbid, like in my situation, you're talking about drugs that oncology uses. Well, I mean, let's face it, it's going to be expensive no matter what. And I have two prescription plans, and I'll be darned, they call them something. And both insurance plans were like, nope, not paying for it. I mean, messed around with it for 2 weeks. Out of four of the drugs, three of them, with the help of an advocate, finally pushed things through to where the medical necessity, and yes, she's at home, and no, she's not in a hospital setting, and this is at home care, and blah, 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 and whatever else they needed, you know, for oncology and hospital specialists to send in, and documentation, more paperwork, and that's what happens, folks, and have to have another medication called in, and I'll be darned, well, you know, she's never been on it before, so blah, blah, we're not gonna cover it. And then we call in something else, luckily that's comparable to what they're calling in, that oncology wants me to start on. And lo and behold, like nothing like getting a call. Yeah, your portion is $684. Excuse me? How much? How many months? 30 days. Wait, what do you mean 30 days? But what exactly did they call in here? Because I didn't even know. And how many pills? 30 pills? $680-something? You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. You're mine. No, I had to pay it. Yeah. I had to pay it. Because I have to take it. Because if I don't take it, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get in trouble internally. So I had to take it. The other drug was even more expensive. It was like $1,400. If I take all four drugs and literally just cut the insurance off, I'm easily almost $4,000 a month just to keep living. You know, that much to keep struggling. I think about it. That much money to struggle. You know, just to live, but to struggle. Is that worth struggling? I'm paying to struggle. I'm looking at things differently now at this point in my journey. I'm paying to struggle. I'm not paying for over, you know, if it was an insurance that covered $4,000 to have a party and live a high life, because that's not what these drugs do. Now the next stage could be, I could be living the high life. It's called getting to the point where we start really cranking things up. And the next is doubling once again a dosage up to 600, where I started, you know, below 100. And that's where it's going next. And I don't have a choice in the matter. That's when things really change. And oncology, my new group that's added to my care, to my oncology care, they're the ones that are going to, I have a feeling when I see them next, we're going to talk about it, because, you know, it's a transition and it's a slow progression with the medicine and with things evolving, and that it's just part of the process. This is like a whole different part that I've never been. I've not experienced any of this. I never went through any of this. I would like to say I've experienced this, like saying when I get to this point and things happen, I always had surgery to fall back on, and I always did. It was my saving grace. But now I'm getting into parts with things going on and things progressing that I have not experienced. And then I remember my oncology radiology team and the oncologist during my initial treatment saying that once you get your past the 5-year prognosis, and then things get really tough. Then you start getting into uncharted territory or waters, or whatever the heck they say, you know what that saying is, to where you're going to start experiencing things that you've never felt or experienced before. They were right. Because where I'm at now, I've never been, ever, with my health. So everything changes constantly, to where I don't think there's ever going to be a point where we get to a comfortable point where I don't feel like I'm daily pushing my body to keep going, because that's what I feel like when I wake up. I feel like I'm literally kicking myself in my ass, like with both feet in a whole nother way, because physically I'm damn tired. You know, normal people have family and they have people that roll their sleeves up, and if they're married they have both families, and you know, and I don't have that. So you're kicking your own ass by yourself with minimum help, you know, with some help, but with everything you got, because you're still doing the majority. I mean, easily 60% to 70% I'm still doing, and this state physically is absolutely asinine. I'm not angry, because I knew this is how it's going to be. So when I say I'm not suffering, no. When I die, it's not suffering. It's thank God, hallelujah, she doesn't have to struggle anymore. No? But it shouldn't have had been, it should have never been this way. Let's face it, folks, it never should have been this way. No. We're human beings. We help each other out, okay? When somebody's struggling, you help them out. I'm not talking about sending them little Debbie snack cakes or something, okay? Or a little a figurine or whatever. I'm talking about physically rolling up your sleeves and using your own energy to help people that don't have that energy. That's what I mean. Nobody should have to use what energy that they barely have left. When you're at a point in your life, you know how that energy should be spent? For me, how it should be spent is resting, maybe getting a small bucket list that's feasible and doable of things that I want to do right now, that if I'm going to do it, I better do it. No, I'm too busy still. I don't think people respected or believed. Here, we'll put this oncology thing of referring to the new oncology. I'm going to have to blip things out. It's not to anything of any attention seeker or anything, but I just want people to understand as a learning curve experience that nothing what I went through is a joke. And I think people think I'm going to hop out of this again. I had surgical options every time I got really bad like now. I don't have them. That's why oncology sat me down and explained that. And we started having to release some of my care of my doctors because we need to minimize my group. You know, now it's a small group of specialists, of oncologists, and those taking care of, doing the best they can to work with them with the pain. But I shouldn't have to be exhausting myself out. There should be people, and everybody has family. Unless you have no family still alive, okay, that's different. Be rolling up those sleeves, not say a peep, no matter what, and just help. So when I die, we should all be saying, well, she doesn't have to struggle anymore. I mean, if anything, she doesn't have to struggle. Because it's not been easy. You know? But it happens. And I'm speaking on behalf of everyone who's in my shoes, because I'm not the only one going through this part of stage in their health, with their health, and going through and experiencing what I'm saying right now. So know, if anything, you're not alone. I get you totally, how you feel, and I'm sorry, you have to also go through that. And you're going above means and ways and things that you shouldn't be doing, and you're digging way deep within yourself that you just don't have. And I'm telling you, you probably feel like I feel. You feel damn exhausted. You couldn't paint your own damn nails if you wanted to at the end of the day. If you're like me, you know what I look forward to? I look forward to laying down and resting. And it takes to light me up like a Christmas tree in order to sleep. Because as soon as I lay down, I'm laying right on the area that has all the problems. No matter if I sleep left, right, it doesn't matter. There's no more comfortable position. Before oncology, at least I had one position. I could at least still sleep on one side. So things are not the same as they were before this journey started 7 years ago. Because that's when I took a turn with something new with my health. That literally has and continues kicking my ass. Okay? That's the truth. That's no lie. That's the truth. But you're kicking yourself, and I feel for people, and you're kicking yourself in the ass to get up. And I'm telling you, like me, you keep telling yourself, sometimes I'll say it aloud, I don't even feel like getting up. I'm freaking exhausted. But you have your kids, you have your fur babies. And for whatever reason, you keep getting up. No, I keep getting up for my fur babies. You know, if I had kids, I keep getting up for my kids. Yeah. There's a reason. Yeah. But for those in that situation, nobody's ever said sorry. They probably have never said anything, anyone, that you wanted to hear. Oh, I'm so sorry if you're going through that. Oh, I'm so sorry for your health. Oh my God, well, I hope you don't have to blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm talking about because people who don't suffer, oh, I'm sorry, struggle, because I don't like saying suffering, struggle how you are. And you're dragging your ass, you're dragging your own ass every day just to get up and get moving. They don't get it because they're not there. Okay? And most people that were there have already passed away. That's the truth. Sorry. There's nothing wrong about talking about death. It's just too bad people aren't more free and more comfortable to talk about it because we're all faced death. It shouldn't be a topic of like, oh no, can't talk about it. I'm sorry if you're not hearing what you really need to hear from people. You know what you really need to hear from people? If you're struggling with your health and it's hard to keep going, but you have a reason to keep living because it's easy to just continue sleeping, right? You know what happens when you continue laying there? You know what happens when you don't move? You know what happens when you sleep day in and day out? Is your body starts shutting down. Okay, your body's already tired at this point. My body's tired. If I keep laying there, and when you get on hospice, that's what happens. For those who don't get it, I do. Is your body's already slowing down. You're not consuming many calories. You're losing weight like me. You don't need to consume that much. Or another thing too is things get hung up. But you're not really hungry anyway, thank God. You have no appetite. You don't crave anything. Nothing tastes like anything. That's the truth. You start losing weight. I've not stopped dropping weight. I'm glad and fortunate it's been a slow process. But you're living for someone, a reason and purpose. Okay? But if you don't have anybody and they're still alive, they're rolling up their sleeve and not saying a peep and giving you some of their energy that they should be giving unconditionally and selflessly, I want to say, for those that let you down, as I'm sorry that they let you down. I'm sorry that those that be, whoever they are, let you down. And I'm sorry that you had to struggle so damn hard by yourself, because that's really what you need to hear. You don't need somebody sending you a figurine or a box of candy or something you can't even use anyway. Right? You just want to hear somebody give you a little bit of sympathy, kindness. Because you're not asking for a pity party. You're not doing it out of hell, you know, when you're at this point. You're not doing it out of attention. That's stupid. Because there ain't no damn attention. Okay? You're doing it because you're struggling and you're frustrated. And either people don't believe what you're going through because you've been able to, like myself, maneuver through the hurdles. Or like myself, you've had surgical options every time. And people have literally watched you bounce back, but you're not bouncing back. You're just declining even more. Until where people think you're bounce back until you die. And then they sit there, oh my God, and then they go to panic. Well, maybe they could have lived a little bit longer before going into panic, Maybe they could have lived a little bit longer if you would have gave a little bit of your energy to someone that was struggling. You think about that before you cry river? Nobody sick should be asking anybody, can you give me a little bit of your energy? Because I don't have it anymore. My body's tired. No. People that one word, four letters, love you, give you their energy without asking. And if they're not, that's not love. That's not another word, four letter word, care either. No patient has to be asking anybody. As people see it and they know it, and you have the energy, then you give it freely and selflessly. People would live a little bit longer in life, no matter what they're struggling through, if they had unconditional, another four-letter word, help. Okay? It's the truth. I finally could get in the shower. I don't even look forward to taking a shower. Why I'm saying this? And I do, okay? I don't take a shower every day. I take a shower every 2 days. Sometimes every three. But let's face it, I'm not working. I'm not outside, you know, building a house or something, okay? We should be washing our hair every day anyway. And mine is just, you know, whatever mine's doing. Yeah, whatever at this point. I dread taking a shower. You know why? Because I'm already exhausted. And even taking a shower, which I never said this before, so I know I've not been in this point in my journey with my health, is it's exhausting. And that may sound to most people the most asinine, stupidest thing you ever heard. But if you're saying that, thinking that, is because you haven't been where I'm at yet. And if you were, you've already passed away. Because the next part is, the body shuts completely down and you're gone. So you may be thinking up to heaven. You may be thinking up in heaven. I don't know. Can they listen to podcasts in heaven? I don't know. I don't know. Well, at least I got to laugh on that one. You know, that's, you know, I get it. People who are like, you know, it's hard, you know, hard to get a shower. You know, I heard people say that before. That were where I'm at now. They were there before they passed. Three people. I connected with and watched their journey, and all three passed away. And they got to that point where they would send me a private message and talk about how it's like, oh, you know, I got to get a shower. You know, I dread this, got to get a shower. I couldn't yesterday. I'm so tired, exhausted. And I would think, because I wasn't in that journey, as like, all you have to do is get in the shower, like even 5 minutes. I didn't get it because I wasn't in their part of that stage of life where I'm at now. See? Yeah. That's just, or people probably, majority don't understand what I'm saying. But for those who do, you get it, you know what I mean? I'm just getting this podcast because I gotta lay down. I gotta take meds and I gotta start being consistent because I'm slacking on some. And I was told the importance earlier today that you have to stay right on time on this stuff. You can't lapse on any of it because everything's together, so you just can't. But, you know, I get a shower, I put on TikTok, and I look through my lives. People are doing lives, and let's just face it, not a lot of people are doing lives anymore, live video feeds, because of the trolls. Because in the beginning, like I said, people that aren't happy with themselves are going to project on you and make you unhappy if they can, and rejoice in making you unhappy. Not because they hate you, not because they're stalkers, not because they're Velcro, not because they're trolls. Is because they got something going on with their life that you don't know and nobody knows and ain't nobody gonna know. Except for the person who doesn't like themselves. Because they dislike themselves. They are battling with themselves and something they're going through that has nothing to do with you. So whatever they say, the haters, the trolls, the stalkers, whatever, it doesn't matter the title or what you're talking about. Is people in general, I've learned, and it's taken me this long to realize, is there's nothing to do with you. That's a battle within themselves. And sometimes it's easier to project that all on someone else. For whatever reason. Why you're the chosen one, for whatever reason. But you're never going to truly understand, and you're never going to know. So it doesn't matter. So continue freeing yourself, continue talking, continue laughing, continue singing, continue whatever the hell you're doing that makes you, that matters most in life. And what really matters in life is every day find a reason to be happy. Happiness is really, in my opinion, the epitome of the meaning of life is happiness. You got to be happy. You got to find your own happiness, not through others or people, but for and through yourself, to find your own happiness and build upon that. And even through the tough times, to still find silver lining and be happy. And laughter is priceless and free, and it helps. It's a positive internally, emotionally, it really is. But I have found Alive, and I was going through and I thought, I know this lady is not singing Metallica. She's not singing Lip Biscuit. It's just one of those days. Yeah, talk about the he said, she said, you know what I mean? 60 years old. 60. Divorced. Got in a horrific motorcycle accident. Was a teacher. Had to retire. Destroyed her back. And she found this app called TikTok. She had enough followers. Shared her journey and story. Yeah, person that she loved and was with left her because she wasn't fun anymore. Yeah, because of her accident. They couldn't get it or understand. It had nothing to do with her because they've never been where she's at. See? But she sees it. She knows it. But she enjoys singing. And she always did. And heavy metal is her favorite thing. And you wouldn't think for a teacher. No way. At 60 years old, made me stop on her live, and I listened. And that was for my day yesterday. Throw myself into that shower, get in there. A little bit of motivation goes a long way. And I got to sing, it's one of those days. TikTok, a 60-year-old retired teacher. Because that makes her happy. So see, you have to do what makes you happy and not worry about other people. Like she doesn't, because it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, at the end of life, it never mattered. And I'm telling you right now, everything I got, it's the truth. It would have never mattered what they thought of you and how they felt about you anyway. So you just take care of you and make sure every day to do something to make you happy.